Blog Talk Radio.
If you find yourself in trouble, count on me, my friend. I'll get right up in trouble's face. You won't see him again. I've got the backbone, American. I've got the heart, American. I've got the will, American. Will you stand up, don't sit down? Stand up, don't back down. Stand up, shout it out. Stand up, let's make it loud. American, American.
Welcome to another exciting show with Southern Sense on Blog Talk Radio. So turn up the volume and enter our chat room, or grab your phones, call in, and join the conversation. Help us to restore the republic to this country and inspire the majority to be silent no longer.
Well, look me straight in the eye. Tell me what you see. I'll tell the truth every time. Yes, you can count on me. I've got the backbone, American. I've got the heart, American. I've got the will, American. Will you stand up, don't sit down? Stand up, don't back down. Stand up, shout it out. Stand up, let's make it loud. American, 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 American.
All right, American. Welcome back to another exciting adventure here on Southern Sense on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your hostess with the mostest, the radio chick, Annie, along with my intellectual, my debonair, and dutiful son, Cool Mike. Good afternoon, Mikey.
Good afternoon, Annie. It is great to be here, as always, on another exciting edition of Southern Sense. Oh, it is. We're like coming out of the tunnel for a football game. That's how the start of our shows are, just like ready to take the field, ready to do combat. And before I get ahead of myself to tell our audience, Annie is going to explain to you all of our amazing information superhighway networks, because I'll tell you, I just got on and I had to get off at the first exit. She's got, Annie, you're like a techie geek. All these places to be our friend. Facebook and MySpace is nothing. Pretty soon we'll probably be broadcasting live video.
Yeah, if anyone wants to see us, where we are, you can find all the links on our website, which is under southernsense.webs, WEBS.com. Just remember to put the spider web in between the com and the Southern Sense. Yeah, we're up on Spreaker, YFrog, Stitcher, iTunes. You can catch us just about anything. Even better yet, just Google Southern Sense and our sites will all pop up. You'll find us up on Twitter, Facebook, MySpace, and half the places I even forget where I even put us. Even have a link over in Tea Party Community.
You're doing a great job, I can tell you that, lady. Wow,
yeah.
We're everywhere.
Well, Tea Party Community is dedicated to people that use Facebook but are finding that Facebook is censoring the conservative message and giving us a hard time when we do put pages up or if we invite friends to events. But TeaPartyCommunity.com is exclusively for those like-minded individuals, and they don't allow trolls on there. So check out teapartycommunity.com and tell John Selty I sent you. By the way, Mike, we have something new going on. We have a contest going up. It's on our page, southernsense.webs.com, as well as in Tea Party Community. We're asking people out there that listen to us and like our show to give us a 30 or 60-second video. If it's 30 seconds without audio, if it's 60 seconds with video, with audio, and we're going to be using those to help advertise our show in different areas. And the person that gives us the winning video that is 30 seconds without audio will get Todd Allen Herendeen's DVD video of My Name is America. If you are the winner for the 60-second video, you will get a two-disc set. One is the DVD of Madison Rising doing the Star Spangled Banner, which is absolutely awesome. I'm telling you, I saw them do it live, but the DVD will just rock your socks. And the other is their latest album release.
Are Playboy Energy Girls eligible to win?
Anyone is eligible to win. We ask that they do join our website if possible, please. It helps us to determine winners better. And we're going to base it upon creativity, humor, and how clearly they can get the message across of Southern Sense Conservative Talk.
All right. Very good. Okay.
All right. Now, I do see we have someone on hold, and we'll bring them on after we do our dedication. For those who listen, know that we dedicate each and every song to a fallen hero. And since Cool Mike is out right now with his mom running errands and will be back at his machine shortly, I am going to turn on the Navy hymn. And this dedication goes to Navy SEAL Chief Adam Brown, who was killed in action in Komar Province, Afghanistan, on March 17, 2010. In true Adam Brown style, he died a true hero, placing himself in the line of fire to protect other members of his unit. Adam's Special Ops Assault Team was assaulting an enemy compound, an operation Adam had performed many times. The U.S. forces were engaging the enemy in a firefight when a portion of the U.S. soldiers were pinned down by heavy fire from the enemy compound. In an effort to protect his men, Adam charged the enemy from a better vantage point, drawing fire away from his pinned-down comrades. His selfless action relieved the fire on his men, but it unfortunately resulted in Adam being struck by enemy fire. One other member of the American team was wounded, but Adam's heroic action saved the other men. The enemy compound was captured, and all enemy combatants were killed in the action. Adam was a 12-year veteran of the United States Navy with several tours of duty overseas. He is survived by his wife and two children. Long before Adam Brown became a member of the elite SEAL Team 6, the counterterrorism unit that took down Osama bin Laden, there was a fun-loving country boy from Arkansas whose greatest goal had been to wear his high school football jersey. An undersized daredevil prone to jumping off roofs into trees and off bridges into lakes, Adam was a kid who broke his own bones but would never break a promise to his parents until he grew older and his family watched that appetite for risk draw him into a downward spiral that eventually landed him in jail. Adam was a man of extremes whose determination was fueled by faith, family, and the love and support of his wife. He was a man who waged a war against his worst impulses and persevered to reach the top tier of the U.S. military. Always the first to volunteer for the most dangerous assignments, Adam's final act of bravery led to the ultimate sacrifice. Anyone who knew Adam would tell you it was important to him that his legacy be remembered and his story be told. He spent the latter part of his life helping those around him haunted by the mistakes he made years earlier. Adam was an incredibly strong Christian who loved the Lord and served him until his last mortal breath. The majority of the members in his unit perished when the Chinook helicopter transporting them was viciously shot down while on a mission in Afghanistan on August 6, 2001. only a few short months after Adam's death. Adam was always the first through the door to clear the way for other members of his team, and in classic Adam fashion, he was yet again the first through heaven's door. Only the last door he went through wasn't filled with darkness and enemies, but light, with his Lord and Savior there to meet him. A light that shines down on all that knew him as a husband, father, friend, and there's no longer a need to be fearless. He is home. This show is dedicated to all the men like Adam who have gone before, who have defended, who are defending, and will defend our freedom and liberty. God bless them all. My Name is America by Todd Allen Harrington.
Born in the grip of oppression, I fought for my liberty. I paid with the blood of my people. Freedom has never been free. Now my door's always open to dreamers and friends. But when I'm attacked, I protect and defend. Because my name is America, I stand proud and free. My name is America, don't tread on me. I cannot be broken, I cannot be shamed. If you hurt me, I'll get stronger, and I'll rise up from the flames. Taken from others, others gave it to me. They believe in the virtues I stand for, my respect for humanity. Now I'm challenged by tyrants who envy my power, but their vicious deeds become my finest hour. Because my name is America, I stand proud and free. My name is America, don't tread on me. I cannot be broken, I cannot be shamed. If you hurt me, rise up from the flames, and I'll always stand proud and free. I'm America, don't tread on me. America is my name. For those who need me, I'll always
by Todd Allen Harrington. And if anyone wants to win that DVD of Todd Allen performing that song, go onto our website, southernsense.webs.com, Also, check out Tea Party Community. We've got a contest going up. Man.
Well, I want to win it, but I don't think I'm eligible.
Yeah. Mike, if you can, I think our guest is calling in on my cell phone. Let me try to, I'm going to try to answer this while we're live on the air. Hang on a second.
All right. Well, it's all good. Just a quick reminder, everybody.
Hello?
Just a quick reminder, our Facebook and our Twitter site. If you want to be our friend, we want to be yours. Annie's actually calling my cell phone. So
no, and somehow or other it accidentally dialed yours, but I think this was our guest.
Oh.
So, let me see if I can get him back and get him back on the air. I think he's confused the phone numbers that he has to call in. That occasionally happens. Sometimes someone confuses the private cell number I give them to talk to.
Minor details to minor details to bigwigs like us. Hey, John.
Hey, listen, live air cannot get any better than this, folks. Cannot get any better. All right, we're dialing. And here we go. It's telling me enter a valid phone number. Oh, man, what the heck is going on? This is one crazy day. One crazy day. Hey, Mike,
we'll
are you still with us?
Yeah, I'm right here. We'll get through it. It's no big deal.
Okay, I think.
For people like us, Annie, we can climb mountains and swim seas.
I think this is our guest calling in on finally the correct number. This is Southern Sense, area code 267. I do believe this is Greg Mara, is it not?
Correct.
Ah.
This is Greg Mara. Sorry, I called on your other number.
Yeah, I know. We were having fun with you on that one. I occasionally do have guests that do that to us.
It's like typical artist, right?
Yeah, head in the clouds. And, you know, when I mentioned, you know, I mentioned to, because I'm here in Beaufort, South Carolina, we've got the Tri-Command. We've got Parris Island Recruit Depot, and we've got the Marine Corps Air Station as well as the Naval Hospital. And we were in our favorite watering hole last night, and one of the former commanding officers for the air station, a lieutenant colonel, was sitting there, and I had mentioned that you would be on the show. And so he'll probably be popping in to listen. But I started off the show dedicating it to the Navy SEAL, Adam Brown. Now, you got involved in doing patriotic artwork, you know, portraits and statues, sculptures. How'd you get involved in doing this?
Well, let's see. I've always admired, you know, the military. And every time I get down, I start sculpting a statue or anything. Instead of making mermaids or, you know, angels and things like that, I just feel really compelled to build statues that honor people who give the most important gift in life, and that is the gift of life, so that I can be free in my studio to be doing the sculpting in the first place. And when I was living up north in near Bucks County, Pennsylvania, I had a permission to do a statue of George Washington praying at a National Vet Cemetery, and when I presented it to the VA, it got turned down because they said it would offend atheists, and that got me a little bit motivated to, you know, get out there and sculpt what's right. And you know, George Washington was an Episcopalian, and he did pray, and that's all I do is just try to tell the truth.
I've never met Jason. I've said hi.
Oh, that's my co-host talking in the background. Sorry about that.
No problem.
Mike?
I'm sorry, I didn't realize. Yeah, sorry, I thought I muted myself. Sorry, go ahead.
That's all right, I thought you were interjecting. There's the other thing was that at that Washington Crossing Park, there's no statues of anyone, you know. I mean, no Nathaniel Greene, no, Henry Knox. I mean, it was the most important event in history and the first American victory. And when I say most important event in history, I mean, if we didn't cross and defeat the British on that day, or the Hessians at that point, it was over. And I'm sure Washington prayed on the banks, and that's what helped made it happen. And I believe this country is created by God. I believe it's my God-given talent and duty to make sure that it's preserved in artwork.
Yeah, it's true. And now, whenever I think of George Washington, I always think of the most famous portrait of where he's kneeling in the snow just before he does that Delaware River crossing, and he's praying. And, you know, it's written in history books that he did take time to pray. And it was George Washington that brought a reverend into the Continental Congress because there was so much bickering over how to write the Constitution that he had them all kneel in prayer. And it was only at that point they were able to finish writing the Constitution. Yeah, and everyone,
he recommended that they put, you know, under God in it. You know,
yeah,
it was literally him saying, "Put it in there." You know.
Yeah, and I was reading recently that he had a prayer book for each day of the week, and they are on display. And I happen to go to an Episcopalian church, one that is 301 years old now, and I have in the front of my prayer book George Washington's prayer that he did on Mondays. And when I go in, it is the one that I say every Sunday when I kneel before church. And I says, "Well, you said it on Monday. I'm just giving an extra day up. You know, maybe the good Lord will think I'm ahead of schedule. Maybe it'll look favorably on me." But, you know, they don't realize how religious our founding fathers were, especially George Washington.
Right, and I don't think George Washington was anti any other religion. I think he's just like the rest of us. There's good and bad people in every religion. And, you know, when I do a statue, if someone's a Jewish, well, there's going to be a Star of David in there somewhere. You know, and if they're Catholic or Christian, they might have a Bible. They might have their hands in prayer. They might, you know, be standing next to a crucifix, like my Adam Brown statue. He's literally standing next to a cross. And on the cross, it's going to say, you know, to my brotherhood, you know, the Navy SEALs refer to each other as brothers, the brotherhood. And, you know, he might, on there specifically, it might say, you know, don't pray to me, pray to God. Because a lot of times people, they worship the heroes when they should really be worshiping God first and maybe pray for the heroes in the afterlife.
Amen to that.
Yeah, and we start off the show, and it was your request that we dedicate the show to Adam Brown. But when I was reading about him, a lot of things that come out about him that really floored me. You know, he was a kid, you know, he was a daredevil and everything, but he ended up a drug addict with a rap sheet. He actually did time, but he overcame all of that to become the most elite of all elite, a Navy SEAL. And some of the things that were written about him just blew me away that, you know, they say that some guys come in and they don't have the leadership skills, but they have the physical talent to become a SEAL. And, you know, there are others that have the talent to be a leader, but they're not good enough to be a SEAL. But Adam had both, which was a rare combination.
I think the one guy who was training with him, I think it was his, you know, they have pairs in the buds and, you know, you never leave your buddy behind. And this guy literally broke his leg. I can't remember exactly in the book, but he broke his leg because he was pushing himself so hard to keep up with Adam, he just finally broke, you know, like he broke a bone, you know. And Adam, what blows me away is that overcoming addiction, he got shot in the right eye and then went to pass Navy SEAL sniper training with his non-dominant eye. I mean, that's impossible. I mean, he did it, but it's still impossible, you know. And then he had his fingers cut off in an accident. You know, his car got hit by an IED and rolled over on his fingers. They sewed him back on, and then he went and trained himself to shoot lefty, and then went to pass and become a SEAL Team 6 member, like you said, which is elite of the elite. And the book is properly titled Fearless, you know, by Eric Blem. He endorses my work. Adam Brown's high school coach endorses it. His parents are all for it. They're humble. They didn't ask. None of these families ask for statues. What I realize is that if we leave it up to the government or we leave it up to communities to raise the statues of the soldiers, a lot of times it gets muted down, and we wind up with just a rock and a plaque. And as an artist, I have more insight into the world of public art and what makes it tick, what makes it move people. And it's individual stories like Adam Brown, Daniel Boone, you know, John Wayne. these are people that motivate us, whether it's in movies or in real life. And we kind of lost that. Like, I think ever since the Vietnam Wall, we've been just putting up, you know, rocks with plaques and names. And then we say, well, we have to honor everybody all at once and nobody can stand out. And our kids, yeah. You know, when they play competitions, and everybody wins, you know. But in our great country, we deserve both. You know, we should honor everybody all at once, the living and the deceased, in any conflict. But we also need our specific individual characters. And I'm not going to use the word hero because it's used way too many times. We need our warriors. And warriors are ones who defend. So Adam is one of them. Chris Kyle, I finished his statue. That was an awesome warrior to honor. My next project, Adam Brown, I've got accepted this week, was to do a statue of Brian Bill, who was on Extortion 17. I'm sure you're familiar. That's the helicopter that crashed in Afghanistan and killed 30 SEALs and a dog, a war dog.
Yep.
Brian Bill, okay, was the guy who was holding Adam Brown's hand when Adam Brown died in Afghanistan.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Holy cow.
His father, I talked to him, and he's, you know, emotional just like all the other families, and he just said, Greg, I believe in what you're doing, and I give you graces to do my son's statue. And I said, that's great, because he actually is from Sarasota. I live here in Sarasota, so it's sort of our hometown hero. And he also is, you know, it's in the early stages, but he believes that all the 30 members deserve a statue too, and I agree. I think it's a phenomenal idea for the family members to get behind putting a statue of each and every one of their sons. And one thing that I would do in that case was, here's how my insight in sculpture and public art comes through. It's not going to be a monument to a helicopter crash. It's going to be a monument to 30 warriors, who they were before the crash. Now, if we left it up to, say, the government or people that don't understand artwork, it might just be a sad monument to a crash. And that's not what the families want to remember their sons, you know, doing or being a part of. They were proud of those guys passing buds, becoming SEAL Team 6, and doing things for our country that we don't even know about. And that's the way they should be remembered, including the dog.
Absolutely correct. Now, you have up on your website, which is gregmarrettstudios.com. I have a link in the chat room as well as on the show page, where you actually you need people to donate to help you complete a lot of these projects. And last night I did make a donation to you, which you may have seen a message come up on that. But you also are working. I'm always happy to help. You're also working on the Benghazi 4.
Well, here's some of the statues. We need fundraising. Some of them, you know, basically I ask for sponsorship. And, you know, honestly, in Arkansas, I'd love, you know, that's the headquarters of Walmart. Adam Brown loved Walmart. He had a Walmart badge on his necklace to show that he was, you know, he couldn't tell people what his real job was. So he joked and always said, I work at Walmart. And he loved Walmart. So, you know, why doesn't Walmart call me and let's just get this done, build a statue for Arkansas? That would be great. But in the meantime, we have to do grassroots approaches and, you know, raise money however we can. One of the ways is people can email me off my website at gwmara@gmail.com and purchase a miniature of Adam Brown, 6-inch bronze or 6-inch cold cast resin. And that would help towards the proceeds. So we're working on a campaign like that. Now, as far as Benghazi, there's other people that are helping fundraise with that. And that's, I always recommend that. If people want me to do a statue, or if there's a VFW or American Legion out there that wants a statue done, it's a lot more effective if they handle the fundraising and let me do the sculpting. But... You know, when I, it's, and it's funny, it's the truth. But when I, you know, someone like Adam Brown, you know, his story, you know, I don't care what it takes to get that done. It's just, his story touched me in a very personal ways because of what he overcame, and I just feel compelled to build that one. The And that's not to say that all statues don't compel me. It's just, you know, sometimes one does a little bit more than the other at the moment and at the time. And that's what we call inspiration. The Benghazi 4 project inspires me to no end, and I think it inspires a lot of people, and that's why I don't have to worry about doing any fundraising, really. It's for people who are doing what was right. And that's one thing that we don't, I think that's what we're lacking in our country right now, is doing what's right, you know, regardless of what, you know, you're going to lose your job or someone's going to say something bad about you or this and that, but you know it's the right thing to say or do, you do it. And in this case, we lost two Navy SEALs, Glenn Doherty and Tyrone Woods, but if you read the records, they were told not to go and rescue people. Well, they did. They went and they actually saved lives. They rescued people. And they thought help was coming, and it wasn't. And those two SEALs got hit by a mortar on a rooftop and bled out after 6 hours. And, I mean, like I said, I live in the area where people sculpt mermaids all the time. But to me, I look at the clay, I look at the tools, and I say, I got to sculpt the Benghazi 4. And, you know, Christian Stevens, who was just doing his job and was drugged through the streets, I mean, that was just terrible. Sean Smith, who was probably making a lot of phone calls. And in my statue, it shows Ambassador Stevens praying and Sean Smith on the telephone. And the two Navy SEALs on the right and left switching out mags, getting ready for the onslaught.
And wow.
That's my politically incorrect, excuse the term, version of what I feel actually happened. And it moves me. So
yeah, and that statue is going to be called
Wild. I think it moves all of us.
Yeah.
Hey,
that statue.
All of us are moved by that.
That statue you've titled While Washington, D.C. Slept. Now, Dana in the chat room wants to know, what is the atypical project cost?
Well, I have a flat rate fee of, you know, for a fair market value per life-size figure. And I stick to that fee. And most memorials, you know, they're in the $200,000 to $250,000, $300,000 range. And I've cut that cost down, even though, and I'm still making them in America. So I'm able to keep them under $150,000 for delivered bronze made in America. You know, I fly the families in to make sure the portraits look right. The best quality bronze. I have a master's degree from the New York Academy of Figurative Art. I studied under the world masters in Europe for over 5 years, going from church to chapel to museum. You know, when you order a statue for me, you're getting the best quality, and you're also getting a very reasonable price for something that is not only going to stand the test of time in the elements, you know, could last thousands of years, but also in the critic's eye, a museum-quality statue. And I don't know if you've seen some statues out there, and I'm not a critic of other people's work, but sometimes you think, what, you know, why is one eye higher than the other? And, you know, what's going on here, you know? And the other thing to consider, and, you know, it's like everybody's pricing is always difficult, and people say, oh, my God, this is expensive and that, and, you know, you think of, you know, what Adam Brown did, it's not a lot. As a matter of fact, I think, you know, if I could pay for it, I'd have a statue of every service person out there, you know, but you can't. And if I was a millionaire, I wouldn't be asking for money to do these. I would just pay for them.
Yeah.
But,
now, I'm not an artist.
It's
so
awesome.
I
mean, go ahead, Amy.
It is. I'm not an artist, but, you know, how do you go about creating one of these statues? I mean, from the ground up, you know, do you what, make a like a rebar frame? And I have no
Actually,
idea
yeah,
how you do this.
You do. That's what you do. But let me just go back on the pricing thing one more, or just one point I want to make. I don't know if people realize this, but there's a statue of Martin Luther King that was just made in the mall, and it costs the taxpayers $120 million, and it was made in China, okay? And there's right now, I actually got an email from the Eisenhower family, but there's a statue, I think it's 100 and it's up there, 160 million. And some architect took over the project, and it's turned into, like, it's almost reminiscent of the Berlin Wall. They call it a liberal nightmare. And it doesn't really even show Eisenhower for who he was, you know, the leader of the Allied forces. And, you know, I could do a statue of Martin Luther King holding children's hands or something, showing him loving, the caring person that he was, for a millifraction of what cost the people. And that's why I think it's important for people to sponsor guys like me that are saying, let's take away that responsibility from the government and from the other groups, and let's really trust somebody who is a fine artist who has the passion and has the love and care and direction for these subject matters. Now, to start a statue, you use rebar, you weld it, you make a skeleton, and then you try to make it as lightweight as possible by using chicken wire, and it's all traditional methods, plaster wraps, and you build up the statue that way, and then you put clay on top and model it, and got the legs in the wrong place, you cut it off and move it over. But it's dangerous because it can be, you know, it's very heavy. On the Chris Kyle statue, I was working all the way up until when it was in bronze. I mean, sometimes I cast him in bronze, and I look at it and say, nah, it's just not right there. And I start working on it, and I even bring the families in and say, hey, what do you think, this, that, you know. I want to make sure it's right, because in the end, I have to look at it, you know. I've got to visit them and feel like they're done properly. But it's an intense amount of work. The Chris Kyle statue is 7 foot tall, and it was, and I think the total pieces, it was in like 35 different pieces that had to be welded back together. And that's just in the bronze process. So it's an enormous amount of work. But I'm pretty fast, and I get the statues done fairly quick, and like I guess Wyatt Earp said in the gunfight, take your time in a hurry, and that's kind of how I sculpt, you know. But no, we need them. We need these statues done, and we need them out there. So
yeah, well, I think NASCAR has the saying where the slower you go, the faster you end up being. And people don't understand that, but there is a logic to it. But I was looking at the one, especially one with Chris Kyle, the attention to the absolute detail that you have, even down to where the T-shirt is creased because of the strap running across his chest, you know, and a lot of people, you know, don't think of those things.
No, and that was a rush job. You know, I didn't even have time on that one. That was a quick job. And I sculpted that in a month, and that was just outrageous. I don't really want to do that anymore. I'd rather take a little bit more time. But it was what I do is I leave a lot of texture in my work. I don't smooth everything out because I love the way the light picks up on the texture, and it makes it look rough. And you see what's most important to me is you see the human hand. You see the human tool marks. This isn't made by a robot. It's not made by a computer. It's made by a human. And you see that in my work, but you also see the energy of the person in it. And there's sometimes you look at a statue and it's just dead. You know, it just doesn't have any energy or life. But, you know, maybe there is something magical that happens when we sculpt and we're able to kind of put the spirit of the person in it. And it's a force that's unseen that makes it radiate, you know, inspire. I think that's what happens in my work often. So, you know, I do pray a lot. So that when things aren't going well and I'm sculpting, the first thing I do is, oh, I forgot to pray. You know, and when I start praying, the minute I pray, boom, you know, everything's back to normal, making the right moves. And it's just an awesome passion.
Now, you don't just do U.S. military people. You've also done Native Americans. And I'm looking at the one Thundering Sky. Now, who was Thundering Sky?
Well, to make a long story short, it turned out I was sculpting Indians on my property back in Bucks County. And lo and behold, after I'd sculpted all these Indians, I was notified, you know, by some people that there was most likely a burial ground on the property, and I thought, man, this is kind of, you know, this is interesting. I was just so moved to sculpt them, and to be honest with you, I feel like possibly they existed back then and might have been buried there or walked across that property, and there were Lenni Lenape Indians from the Northeast, Running Bear and Whispering Wind. I date them to like 860 BC, and then Thundering Sky was more like the 1700s when the Native Americans were literally wiped out. I mean, we say smallpox and alcohol wiped them out, but I think, you know, let's face it, there must have been some euthanization and pushing them away, and because their tribe now is in Oklahoma. I mean, that's pretty far ways from Pennsylvania, New Jersey. And as an artist, once again, I understand the power of art. And in order for us to heal the things that we have as a nation, you know, our issues and problems, I address current issues like Benghazi. But what about what happened before we came here? Or when we first came and pushed all the Native Americans out in the 1700s out west? You know, shouldn't we address that as well? And it was funny, in Bucks County, I also noticed that, you know, a lot of the high schools were named Lenni Lenape High School this and the Lenni Lenape Town Hall. And I said, well, where's the statue of these people? How do we know what they look like? How come there's nothing there showing what they did, how they ate, how they worked? And I would even go with friends, and you can find artifacts from the Indians up and down the river, the Delaware River, tools that they used to, you know, clean deer skins. And I even have a piece of it's like a stone that was chipped to a point on the tips, and it was tied to most likely a dog, and it was used as a plow, you know. And I kind of touch that rock sometimes, inspiring myself to work harder, you know, to you know, let's get moving when I get a little tired. And you know, how do we right the wrongs? Well, you can do that by just a gesture of making a bronze eternal statue that's masterfully made and given with the right intentions. And I believe that we should do that for Native Americans. And, you know, gosh, if you read some of my work, we should do that for the partisans in Eastern Europe who rescued our pilots that crashed in World War II. You know, we should do a statue of those people and give it to Poland and Czech and Slovakia and Hungary. Those people would love to receive something like that from us, and it would just, oh, man, it would bond us in such an awesome way. Artwork is extremely powerful. It's that gut-wrenching feeling you had when you found out someone spray-painted the Abraham Lincoln Monument. You know, so powerful. It's like, you're like, whoa, you know, you almost got, like, you dropped your bagel and your coffee. And it's like, wait, we can't do that. And it's these are symbols of our pride. And they symbolize us and everything we stand for. So the Native American work, I just have a lot of passion for the original people. You know, things happen the way it happened. And, you know, like Civil War, I consider it one of the most silly wars, Americans fighting Americans, you know. But if someone said do a statue of the Civil War, of course I would do it. And try to make something healing and proper about that as well. You know,
yeah,
definitely show courage.
Yeah, and there's nothing civil about war, so why they named it Civil War.
Yeah, I know. That's the most uncivil war, Americans fighting Americans. I mean, come on. And what the devastation to the South. I mean, it's like the North as well, but the South was just, you know, decimated. And you think of all the, I live down south now, and I just think of all the awesome, intelligent, hard work, and, you know, loving, God-loving people that, you know, died in that war. It was just terrible. But
yeah,
once again,
absolutely.
I don't focus on that. You know?
Well, living here in South Carolina, every single day you're immersed in history in the past. And as I said, you know, even the church I go to predated the Revolutionary War, and the ministers here were part of the Black Robe Regiment, which not very many people know about. They don't know that a lot of these reverends would be out there preaching on Sunday, and then that night or Monday they'll be in the field fighting side by side with the rebels.
That's an interesting point, because is there a statue to them?
That's a good question. There's not very many statues too.
Whoever's out there, have them call me. You know, and that's how this works. It needs to be done. There needs to be a statue, and I'll briefly explain why. My ancestor, Norman de Redmain, that's my mother's maiden name, Redmain, and I traced our history back. He was a Crusader knight, born 1140 in Yorkshire, England, died 1184 in Palestine, and he was part of what they call the Hospitaller Knights. They were the, you know, you've heard of Templar Knights.
Mm-hmm.
They wore the white tunic with the red cross. Well, he wore a black tunic with a white cross. And Hospitaller, what is that? He was working in the hospital. But the people who worked in the hospital, say medics or doctors back then, they were also fighters. You know, one minute you're patching wounds, the next minute you're out there with a lance causing wounds. And, you know, it's just that spirit is amazing in special individuals, the ability to heal and the ability to defend and for what's right, or if it's just simply trying to save your brother. I know that you just proved my point, basically, that there needs to be more statuary to specific events and specific people in order to preserve our heritage. I remember one instance, the Log College up in Pennsylvania. This was one of the first colleges ever, and it's in, like, the parking lot of a daycare center. They found the remnants of it. And this is some of the guys who graduated from that college went to found, you know, Yale and Harvard and University of Penn. And it's like pulling teeth to get people to build statues there. and I just think it's so crazy. But in the early 1900s, they would have parades. I think in the 1800s and 1900s, they had huge parades there and big gatherings, and it was a sense of pride. But in our fast-paced world, we feel, who cares about that? You know, what's going on with the Kardashians? And we can't do that. At least I can't do that. I have to work hard, as, you know, the title's been given to me, America's Sculptor, to make sure that these locations are preserved. These memories are preserved. And I say thousands of years, I mean it. The Greek statues were taken out of the Mediterranean Ocean and put in museums, because all the other Greek statues were actually melted down by the Turks to be made into cannons. So these statues survived thousands of years in the ocean, and this is what's in our museums. So these statues can last that long. And it's up to us to make sure, we the people, to make sure we have the right statues out there. Don't rely on your government. Don't rely on the groups. Don't say, oh, well, they'll build what's right for me. No. We can build what's right for us. And I think,
Go ahead.
Well, I think it's an exercise in taking responsibility for our own memory. You know, kind of like, you know, you're writing a diary. You know, it's the same thing. You're taking responsibility for your own memory, and also, it's an exercise for us to finally work together as a country again. The Benghazi statue, this is not a statue for liberals or conservatives. It's a statue for everyone to get behind. Because while we're seeking the truth, finding out what happened that fateful night, we as Americans need to come together and honor those four individuals. Let's use this as a litmus test to gather together and once again, like I said before, do what is right. It takes so much courage to do what's right. So go ahead.
Yeah, now, there's two things. One is that they recently built a new town hall here in Beaufort, South Carolina, and they've got to span this area of lawn in front of the front steps that would be perfect for a statue, and I've been meaning to get a hold of the local mayor, who happens to be a friend of mine, and I would love to see a statue of one of these three people, either Francis Marion, known as the Swamp Fox, Rutledge, who was one of the signers of the Declaration, or Harriet Tubman, who from this area helped the Union troops you know, she was a scout for the Union troops. She helped them, you know, beat the rebels. I would like to see one of those three standing in front of the city hall and declaring our history and the foundation of our city.
But you know what the great thing is? With the way that I price my work and make it affordable, and in this great country that we have, then the town hall deserves all three. And that's the answer. And I had a friend, he's actually going to be my spokesperson at times on TV and things like that. His name's Captain David A. Christian. He's the youngest, most decorated veteran since the Civil War. He was in Vietnam. 2 Silver Stars, Distinguished Service Cross, 2 Bronze Stars, 7 Purple Hearts. He's a really wonderful guy. And he was helping raise money for the Vietnam Wall. And a lot of the soldiers that came back, and they were upset, saying, you know, we don't need a statue. We need jobs. You know, we don't need a statue. And he said, in this great country of America, can we have jobs? He said, yes. No, in this great country in America, can we have statues? Yes. The answer is we can have it all, because we are the new Rome. We are the new emperors of the world. We have to stop apologizing for it. We have to stop moping and looking in the mirror and saying, what did we do? And I feel bad about myself. You can't start your day doing that. So we're the greatest. You know, we just have to accept that we're the greatest warriors, the greatest thinkers. And you know why we are? Because we're a combination of the whole world. And does that town hall deserve Harriet Tubman, the Swamp Fox, and the other fellow, I forgot the name?
Rutledge.
Yes, Rutledge. So, sorry if I forget a name. the town hall deserves all three. And it can be done in a very classic, graceful, awesome, inspiring way. And, of course, my company and I would be more than honored to make it happen. If I can't make it happen, I'll find someone to help make it happen. But right now I'm young. I'm full of inspiration, energy. Not that young, but young enough. And you know, I'm fired up to just start building, and I can do it. If I can't make all the statues from scratch myself, I hire a team of guys that I know, and that's how the Renaissance worked. You know, Michelangelo wasn't there carving everything. You know, he was carving, and then guys came around to polish, and you had a team. And that's what we work together as artists, as a team, and make it happen. And you know, I hope the next decade I have is prolific. I hope that people trust me and call me and sponsor me and call me with projects that they have in mind. I don't care if it's a loved one and you want a bust of your uncle or your grandpa, or if you're just a veteran who wants to go on one last mission to honor his buddy who fell and he never got to say anything to maybe his loved ones, or you understand.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of closure and a lot of magic in this work. I don't know of any other artists that are doing what I'm doing, but I'm sure a lot of them will start catching on. And I believe I think what we have in our hands at this moment is the American Renaissance. It just smells like it, it looks like it, it tastes like it. You know, the Italian Renaissance, European Renaissance grew out of the plague, came out of the plague, in the Age of Enlightenment, and I think we deserve a renaissance in this country, and I think this is the perfect way to do it, honor our legacy.
You know, now you said something that was very interesting, that we can do it, we can have it all, that we have to stop this victim mentality, and that is the most pervasive parasite in our society right now. You know, the hand goes up, no, it's my right to have a free cell phone. It's my right to have free internet access. No, it's not. These are things you work and achieve. You know, the give me, give me, give me, I'm a victim, oh, woe is me, has got to stop.
I'm an artist, okay? I have one of the toughest careers to make it, to pay the bills. I got a family. And it's like hunting the woolly mammoth with your bare hands, okay? To become a successful artist. And I can do it because we have this awesome system that allows capitalism to grow. Now, I lived in Europe. I lived in other countries. If I tried to do it there, no matter how successful I got, I would never have the things that I can have in the United States of America. It's country is created by God. Yes, you're right. We have to stop apologizing. What I'm hoping happens here, I hope that the movie stars, the other artists that have controlled the art world for so long, look at me as a threat. In a way, I mean that they can't do that anymore. You know, they have so much power in the eyes and ears and minds of our young people, even us, you know, older and middle aged, and we listen to these negative stories, and it's like if you in your mind you're already thinking probably, am I doing this the right way, or am I doing this thing the right way? And if someone comes behind you and says, yeah, you're doing that wrong, you're going to feel bad about it, aren't you? Well, we're not a bad country. We defend people. We have a heart. We have courage. Each one of us wakes up every morning and goes to work like one of those farmers who defeated the greatest empire in the revolution. We have that warrior spirit inside each and every one of us, and people move here from other countries to get a piece of that action. And you know what? We fight. We do the best we can for our lives, our loved ones, and we have our guns in case someone tries to take that away. There's nothing wrong with this country. We are doing absolutely fine. I deplore when I hear movie star actors, artists, other people talking negatively about this country. It just fuels me to no end, and I hope that my existence can sort of let people's minds have some ease and some calm to know that, no, not the art world doesn't think that way, and no, they don't control the art world. If people sponsor what I'm doing, good artists are going to grow out of this, and we'll take our country back. You know, Bill O'Reilly talks about it all the time as a culture war. Well, he's dead on. This is not a revolution of arms. This is not a revolution that you would think of from the 1700s or the decapitation of the queen or anything like that. This is a culture war, and the best way to fight it is culturally. My artwork would not get funded by the federal government because it wouldn't be considered art, because I'm just honoring soldiers and history. Well, I think the definition of art is the quality of the work. You know, my definition of art is when I see something and I say, I can't do that. That's an art form. Art is not making a Madonna out of cow dung. And that's just an interesting idea. Now, some people may disagree, but, you know, when I get my hands in the clay, I challenge myself to do something more than I've ever been able to do. And that, to me, is artwork. We can have our renaissance. And here's the other thing. I'm not knocking other art forms. You know, I think all art forms, like I said, everything should exist together because it's there for a reason. But do not deny me my soldiers in my park. Don't deny me my George Washington praying in bronze at a veteran cemetery. Don't deny me. And the more they deny, the more I'm going to fight back. That's why people have to get behind Greg Mara, American Patriots in Art. It's a lot more than just making statues.
Amen to that. You know, I was going to say, for your Benghazi, why don't you send your first contribution request form to Hillary Clinton?
Well, we were thinking about naming it while Hillary slept, but it's D.C., so we didn't do that.
Yeah,
but
did you catch in the news today that those three or four people that they supposedly dismissed over the Benghazi incident, to put it politely, were brought back full on the job as of today? And the entire time they were collecting a paycheck while they were not working? Supposedly they were dismissed, but they were getting paid, and now they're full back to work as if nothing happened.
Okay, I guess it's kind of sad. I mean, we started off this conversation talking about God, and one of the great mistakes I'm kind of contradicting what I said, but looking in the mirror, it's okay to look in the mirror in the start of the day and say, whoops, I didn't pray. If I don't pray, I'm going to be bad today. you know, or something bad's going to happen. That's okay to criticize. Because what has happened in this country, we're losing God. And, you know, I'm not a, you know, frankly, I'm more of a not very conservative. You know, I don't care about social issues. I don't want people messing with my money, my military, my guns. But when it comes down to religion and spirituality, I see two different roads. I see that spirituality is very important and that we need to maintain some sort of morality. And these guys in Benghazi, they're getting away with murder, literally. Those two SEALs, Glenn Doherty and Tyrone Woods, they were told not to go, and they went because they were doing what was right to save lives. And then we've got people back here lying and saving their jobs. It's, you know, has this been happening throughout our whole civilization, or is it just happening more now? I don't know. But what I can say is it's not going to bend me. And if each one of us can say that and live to a degree where it's not bending you or bending me or bending your friend, and we stick to our principles and do like Johnny Cash said and walk the line, I think that this country could be a better place. But it's got to, at some point, you know, the leadership's got to take responsibility and do what's one of the most strongest things in human nature is the ability to apologize, admit when you're wrong, and show your human side. And hopefully the political world will see that. Well, I know it's not going to be pleasant for them when a big statue is plopped somewhere in D.C. to remind them of the mistake they made, and hopefully that will help.
Put it right smack in the middle of the White House lawn.
Well, it holds them accountable. And, you know, hey, let's face it. It's not just Benghazi. What about Vietnam? I mean, there was a draft. There was guys sent over there, and most of them didn't even know what that communism was. And my philosophy is just real simple. The American people and the soldiers, the warriors, they don't lose. We don't know how to lose. It's the politicians that lose the wars. In Vietnam, our Vietnam soldiers, defenders, warriors, they gave it to the North Vietnamese. I mean, they handed it to them so many times. But, you know, there was regulations and stipulations, and they weren't allowed to go here and weren't allowed to go there. And, you know, you don't mess with Americans. We're the Spartans. We are the warriors. And we also defend. We try to defend freedom. And
unfortunately, it was Congress that was fighting that war and not the warriors. You know, every time they took, you know, a really great battle, and they took back ground, they took back key things, you know, Congress would say, oh, we got to look at the budget and we got to look at diplomatic relations. And Congress would say, no, every single plane that went up, it had to go through Congress. Every single ship that sailed, Congress determined where they were going to go and what they would do. You know, Congress, leave our military alone and let them do the job we asked them to do. And that's the biggest problem we've got right now in this war on terror in Afghanistan, in Iraq, in Libya, in Syria, in Egypt. Congress, get your nose out, let our military go in, do the job, and get home safe.
I think one of the worst tyrants in the history of the world learned that, Adolf Hitler. He didn't trust his military, and he got, you know, he had no chance. If he had trusted his military, he would have succeeded, and the world would have been, I mean, it would have been terrible. Thank God he didn't. But there's so many times where our military, gosh, there's so many military great leaders that have resigned and have been forced to resign. And what are we doing? And, you know, we're not strengthening Israel. We're not strengthening our military. I mean, that's the one strength we have. I'm sorry, people. There are people out there that want to kill us. There are people that want us to fall. You know, when I was in Europe, it wasn't very pleasant. At times, it was like, hey, you Americans, you're terrible, this and that. It used to be you go to Europe and everybody wants to give you a hug and a kiss and, you know, say hello and come on, meet my family, let's have some sausages and whatever, and, you know, wine and cheese. And now it's get that American away from me. And, you know, that's it's something that we allow upon ourselves by some of the actions we do, and we need to change that. Now, how can we do that? I think, you know, you went to a real great point, you know, the culture war I was talking about and changing the minds of the people. Maybe if we start looking at ourselves a little bit more positively and say we're the best and that's it, then it will just echo and people will just have to deal with it. You know, sometimes you have to take ownership of being the king, right?
Yes.
In order to lead.
And there's nothing wrong with us saying that we are exceptional, because we are an unusual nation, an experiment that actually does work. The other problem is that now we've corrupted the experiment. You know, we've mixed some of these chemicals the wrong way. We've got to get back to the original formula and, you know, take back what is supposed to be our true republic. You know, there's nothing wrong with saying, you know, you're a capitalist. Capitalism works. It's good. There's nothing wrong with saying that you're a religious individual. I don't bug you if you happen to be an atheist or agnostic. So why are you bugging me because I happen to believe that there is a God and a heaven? You know, we have to stop apologizing and just stand up and say, I'm proud to be who I am.
Is it a little bit encouraging for you to know that there's actually an artist out there that loves his country and is a conservative and hunts and collects guns and loves the military? Is that a little bit refreshing?
Mm-hmm.
It is for me, I can tell you that.
So,
yeah.
Let's get this.
When I was telling my Lieutenant Colonel about
out there.
Yeah.
You know,
I was telling
I recommend
Colonel
getting
about
this
you.
Story out there, because when this story does get out there, I've got a lot of messages for the people. That's going to motivate, and I guarantee there's other awesome people going to come out of the woodwork, and it's going to be a movement towards the right direction. Here's, in order to know where you need to go, you have to make mistakes. Every warrior comes back with scars and bruises, and, you know, there's, if you're not coming back with a bruise or making mistakes, there's something wrong. And hopefully, in the next administration, we can turn things around and do what's right. What's happening right now, I just don't agree with. I mean, it's just not, you know, I don't recommend myself getting political or anything like that, but I'm not feeling it, you know. And this person was reelected, you know, the Barack Obama was reelected because people feel like they can get more out of the government. Well, I mean, look out there. There's more taxes. Nobody's getting anything, and it's all been a lie. And you know, you can't live a lie. And a lot of people are right now. They're just kind of convincing themselves that everything's okay. The proof is in the pudding. There's like these old sayings. It is what it is. I mean, look at the facts and say, is my life better now than it was? So I feel more protected than I used to be. And, you know, unfortunately, it's, you know, tragedies that bring us together again. And God forbid nothing happens to this country again. But sometimes you kind of miss that whole feeling of after September 11th when everybody was together and that was just that common brotherhood and bond. But we can have that. We can have that back. But we can't have it when the economy is terrible. And everybody's at each other's throats trying to get a deal. I mean, most of the hit TV shows on TV today are who's going to get a deal at the pawn shop. It's like, I mean, I find myself watching TV and I'm trying to say, hey, is Chumley going to screw this guy over on a item that he's bringing in? I mean, I just about cried when I watched this show on the History Channel and the guy sold a spoon that was in his family that Paul Revere made. He was a family member of Paul Revere, and it was a rare item, and he sold it for money for his daughter to get married. I was thinking, where's the American spirit? Someone call in, tell him stop, and someone give him the money, you know? And, you know, put it in a museum or something, you know? Just we've got to – we can do this, and it's quite easy. We're sort of being programmed by, like I said, all the movie stars and all the hoopla, and it's – you know, the fighting between parties. We've got to get back to loving each other, respecting each other. We've got to. It's really hard when the economy is tanking.
Yeah, well,
a
big problem. But a big problem is what we're teaching our kids. Right now, we've had several generations that have been corrupted by liberal education system. You know,
socialism.
I remember it with being a melting pot. You know, we are all coming here to America because of what America stands for. This is a melting pot. Yes, you can say that you're Italian, American, or whatever, and your family, your heritage, whatever. You can honor that, but it doesn't mean it's going to be the Italians against the Germans or, you know, the blacks against the Hispanics. We are all just one thing first and foremost, and that's American. But instead, the opposite side, those liberal progressives, find that they can win the wars with against us by dividing the people and knocking off sections. You know, it's men or and women or gays versus straights. It's not that. It is American working with American. And we've got to bring that thought back first. And the other problem is that we don't have a sense of history. We're such a new nation. People don't cherish what has gone on in our past. They want everything that's right here, right now, and instant, right this instant. You know, if
well,
you can't make
the,
it in
great,
the microwave, you don't you
here's
don't
a great example, and I'm going to tie it back to statuary because I'm not a politician, although I probably could do a better job than most of them. There were actually black Continental soldiers that fought in General Glover's brigade from New Hampshire. They were called the Marbleheaders. And there were three boats that were crossing on the Delaware in 1776, the Great Crossing, Christmas night. There were three crossing. Two of them didn't succeed. The one that had the black soldiers mixed with the white soldiers and whoever knows, with Italians or whatever in that regiment, they succeeded. They were fishermen from Marblehead. They got across the river. Where's their statue? Where's, you know, there's so many different parts of history that people don't understand. Now, I don't, you know, I think it's easy for people to interject race and things like that to stir the fire, but we just have to be smarter. You know, you just don't buy into it. Another old saying, take the high road. You know, I mean, whatever you're going to let bother you is going to become an issue. And I'd have to say that we're really good at that as well. You know, everybody's good at fueling the fire and, you know, battling and, you know, dividing the parties. I'm trying to unite America in my artwork. Does it mean that conservatives are going to support Benghazi and liberals won't? I don't know. I can't tell you that. But all I can tell you is I put the concept out there. And, you know, I have heard, like, with Chris Kyle's statue, people said, you're honoring a murderer. That's just, there's fanaticism everywhere. If somebody came up with the cure for cancer, someone would say something bad about it. You just can't focus on those things. You got to focus on leading the country and not getting involved in issues like that. And I think we saw that in Trayvon Martin. You know, that was just kind of like a, what the heck happened there? You know, president came out and caused a lot of division. And, you know, that upsets me because I'm the guy that's trying to sculpt the soldier to the Black Continental of the Revolution. You know, there's some awesome characters throughout history from different races, creeds, and religions. They need to be honored. And when we can see them in bronze and see a movie about them, it inspires you. I know Oprah Winfrey's got to show The Butler, or I think a movie The Butler. I think it's got to be interesting. But what about Billy Lee? Billy Lee was George Washington's personal aide-de-camp. He was a slave of Washington's, but he was his personal aide-de-camp. And Billy Lee was the second fastest horse rider in the Revolution. George Washington was the fastest. Billy Lee helped Washington break up riots. Whenever Washington charged in front of the regiments and put himself in danger, Billy Lee was next to him. And Lafayette kept saying to Washington, why do you have slaves? Get rid of them. It's terrible. And Washington did. When he died, he gave Billy Lee his freedom and $30, which was a lot of money back then. And we don't hear these stories. We always hear the negative stories. You know, we've got to focus. It's real simple. If you want to be negative, you focus on the negative. If you want to be positive, you focus on the positive. I know self-criticizing can help lead to a better result. You know, I'm an artist. I'm hard on myself. I criticize my work. It has to be perfect. But if I sit around and tell myself my work sucks all the time, I'm not going to get anywhere. And it's time for us to have a renaissance. It's time for us to be lifted up by our artists, lifted up by the people who are responsible for our culture, our imagery, our movies, the whole thing, and lift us up to that place where we belong so that we can be the proper leaders. Does that make sense?
That's amazing. What you just said is unbelievably amazing. Go ahead, Annie.
Yeah, well, actually, you know, I've been seeing, since I am Tea Party also, I've been seeing a resurgence, you know, in the art side, you know, because I've had several musicians on, and they want to express that American message, that patriotic message to young people. I've seen it with people with books that have written, you know, someone like you, and I've seen others who are painters wanting to give that same message you are saying. You know, this is a great country. We can take it back. And we don't have to fight each other. We can work towards the end goal together. You know, and just stop the negativity, you know. And that's something I completely agree.
That's absolutely the solution. And art, and believe it or not, I mean, every time I talk to a conservative, they're like, oh, those silly artists. Like, when they find out I'm an artist, they think I'm wearing a beret and, you know, that I'm just a freak. Then they sit next to me and they find out that before I went deer hunting, I carved my own flintlock rifle and I was a college football player. And, you know, and they're like, where the hell have you been? And it's the stereotype. And what I'm hoping that my message, and I'm very grateful for you inviting me today. I'm hoping that my message will inspire people, that my artwork will inspire people. And I'm only doing it for you. For you. You know, I feel like the power, the Holy Spirit is running through my body, and that I'm just building statues for each and every one of us. I'm giving ourselves a gift. And that gift is to say, yes, we are great. We have a great history. We have a great future coming. And no, we're not going to fail. We're not going to fall. We can't be socialists. We've got to watch out. And hopefully we can undo some of the damage. But seeing how vulnerable we can be is extremely important to knowing how to protect ourselves in the future. And so these past 4 years and next three to go, it's been tough. But we've learned so much about what not to do. And I think that's just as valuable as knowing what to do. And that's what makes us a great country, is that we take the good and the bad, we put it together, and we become amazing. Those farmers did not defeat the greatest empire for us to lose it after 246 years. No way, never. This artist is going to make sure that those memories are preserved. And please spread the word for people to sponsor my work.
Yes, and as I said, I've got the link to your website up in the chat room, which is gregmarastudios.com, as well as on the show page. Now, Jeremy popped into the chat room and asked a question and wanted to know if it was true that all the Navy SEALs involved in the supposed killing of Osama bin Laden have also passed away. Not all of them. There were 30 SEALs from the same unit, SEAL Team 6, that went down in that helicopter crash, which we were talking about at the start of the show when we did the dedication to Chief Adam Brown. That was the same unit he was in. They died, those 30 died, just months after he was killed in action.
It was funny. His best friends from Gold Team, SEAL Team 6, which Brian Bill, one of them I'm sculpting, I told you his father came to me, and Brian was actually holding Adam's hand when he died. These guys went to Adam's hometown, and in the back of the book, Fearless by Eric Blem, you'll see they jumped off the bridge that he jumped off when they were in high school. And these guys just loved Adam. And the sad story was, a year or 2 years later, the helicopter crash, August 6, 2011, they're gone. And yes, we lost some amazing guys in SEAL Team 6. We did not lose them all. But these guys are, I mean, look, there's Army Rangers that are amazing. We have in the Air Force, we have so many special operators that are unbelievable. The Marines the Army, anyone who's out there fighting combat, I mean, they're just awesome people. The minute they sign that paper, they're given their right to live for you and me. And, but it's just, I find it ironic that our president got elected because he killed Osama bin Laden, and one of my designs is a statue of SEAL Team 6, you know, the killing of Osama bin Laden. If you look on my website, I have a miniature statue there. I'm going to pay myself one day to just build the large one, and it's called Payback. You know, why not? I was told by you that you worked in New York City at one point. I went to school there. You know, September 11th was terrible. When we killed Osama, that was Payback, and that's the title of the statue. And there's nothing wrong with saying that. And God bless SEAL Team 6, Aaron Vaughn, Brian Bill, all their buddies. You know, may they rest in heaven, and may the new crops of SEAL Team 6 be protected from such disasters, and live long, happy lives and defend us. I mean, that's how I feel.
As we wind down a second, I want to throw a quick question out, and I don't want to get politicized on this, but obviously you've done extensive work, and you hear 50 different stories. What is your take on what really happened in Benghazi? Considering everyone is telling a different story, and supposedly they're the absolute source or the official capacity spokesperson.
My gut feeling about Benghazi is that we could have gotten in there in time and gotten our people out, and that Tyrone Woods and Glenn Doherty would be receiving the Medals of Honor right now. That's the way it should have gone down. And that, that's it.
Yeah.
I feel that there was a lot of corruption and a lot of, you know, name blaming. And here, it's just this whole idea of protecting my job and being afraid to do the right thing because I want to protect my job is a disease. And it's got to end. I'm a sculptor. I bust my hump to do what I'm doing. I don't have a GI Bill. I don't have a retirement plan. I am a capitalist. I have to fight for everything that I have, and I wouldn't change it any other way. I have to be protective sometimes of what I say so that I don't offend people. Okay, that's fine. But I never break my morals. My morals and what I believe in, I can't do that. You know, I've been in situations recently where I turned down phenomenal jobs because it just wasn't right. And, you know, I don't understand how people can get away with murder like that. I don't have a solution for that. But maybe doing the right thing, maybe hearing that more often would help.
All right, well, we got a caller in on the line, area code 816. I do believe this is Thomas. Is this Thomas, 816?
Yeah, hi, Annie. I called in. I missed most of the show, but it was for a good reason. And I just wanted to share this with your speaker as well. You know, in what you're doing, sir, I was reminded as I was watching on YouTube a lot of videos of soldiers returning home and surprising their families. And it brought, right now I'm sitting with tears in my eyes, and I'm just reminded of not only our sacrifices that our soldiers make, but the sacrifices of individuals like you who's working so hard to you know, fight for the freedoms in our nation. So all I want to say is just keep up the good work, keep up the fight in what you're doing, and appreciate that. Sorry if my voice is broken up, but like I said,
hey,
I've been watching videos of these happy reunions, and I have tears in my eyes. So just keep up the good work.
Hey, right back at you. That, you know, when you send out a compliment like that, good things come to you. And I want to say thank you for calling and being brave to say something like that. And may that energy bless you to do good things too, brother, all right?
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Thomas. All right, and we've also had Sue listening in on the line. Sue, you've been very quiet. Would you like to have a make a comment or a question to Greg?
Well, I just want to say I've looked at your sculptures, and they are absolutely incredible. And thank you for what you're doing, because this is a permanent history, and it's so important. And I love the message that you're giving right now. Just God bless you, and keep doing what you're doing.
Well, I appreciate that, too. And, you know, one thing that I want to say, there's a lot of great artists out there, and there's so many talented people, and I appreciate your compliments. Thank you.
Well, Greg, we want to thank you for joining us. You have been a fantastic guest. This hour and a half have just flown, absolutely flown.
Thank
it has
you
been a pleasure.
Very much.
It was very healing.
Yeah. Well, we hope that we get the message out, and people will go to your site and make a donation if they can. And I want to thank you again, and you're welcome back anytime.
Oh, great. I would love to come back on, and it was such a pleasure. And take care of that wonderful South Carolina for me, all right?
I'll do my best. I will do my best.
Bet she will, my friend. You can bet she will, armed and ready for Annie. Thank you again, my friend.
It was a pleasure talking to both of you, and have a blessed day.
Thank you. You too. Oh, man, right. Awesome guest. Mike, we got another great guest coming up on Friday. I don't know if you've ever heard of the Birther Princess. You know, the Birther Queen is Orly Tates, and the left has labeled her now as the Birther Princess. Her name is Mickey Booth, and she's going to be joining us on Friday. And I'm telling you, I spoke to her on the phone, and you are going to love this woman. She is absolutely fantastic. So Mickey Booth will be joining us on Friday.
You mentioned with a previous guest that I would love that person. That was Bill, the gun, the smoking gun, and I certainly did. So hopefully by the time we hang up the phone, I'll have a new best friend.
And I want to say thank you for everyone that joined us in the chat room. My neighbor Dana, Radio Mom, Thomas, TP, Sue from New Mexico, and everyone else. And I'm ducking because Dana has already thrown stones at my house. So until we see you again on Friday, good night and God bless. And we'll see you same bat time, same bat station.
If you find yourself in trouble, count on me, my friend. I'll get right up in trouble.
You've
face.
Been listening to Southern Sense Blog Talk Radio. Producer and your hostess extraordinaire is Ann Ubelis. The theme music, American Stand Up, is written and performed by Don Fortney. For more from Don, check out his webpage, teapartymusic.webs.com. Southern Sense is a proud member of Ghost Fighter Radio and Freedom Media Network. Southern Sense is common sense. Take it out, Don.
American. Will you stand up? don't sit down. Stand up, don't back down. Stand up and shout it out. Stand up, let's make it loud. American, 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 American.